Three words are on my mind this morning about my sermon. Three words are on my heart about the book of Romans and about this series that we're in about being witnesses for Jesus. I mean, we know that God calls every Christian to be a part of the Great Commission, to learn how and to use what God gives us in His Word in order to be a witness for Him. We've talked about the last 2 weeks the importance of the Word of God, knowing the Word of God in your life, in your heart, so much so that it comes out of you. If the Word of God is inside of you, the Word of God will come out. I did have this duck for a reason this morning, although you might not have known it earlier. But, you know, inside of a rubber ducky, you know, when you squeeze it, what do you hear? You hear a squeak, right? So I'm going to try it, but this rubber ducky don't work as well, so I have to use... Are you ready? What comes out of the duck? Hopefully a squeak. What comes out of you? What comes out of you when you're pressed by the world? Does God's Word come out? Does God's truth come out of you in life? You see, to be so saturated with God's Word that no matter what goes on, good or bad, what comes out of you is God's Word and God's truth. I'm not talking about rote memorization this morning. I'm not talking about you got to memorize 25 things in order to be a godly Christian. I don't mean that at all. I mean that your life is so saturated with God's Word that what comes out of you is His truth. What comes out of your heart and your mind, the Bible says that whatever's in the heart will come out on the lips, will come out in your, and if God's Word is in your heart, it'll come out in your life and your faith. I want to invite you to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I want you to look at these words with me about preparation this morning. I'm going to talk about several scriptures about being prepared in order to be a witness for Christ. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared to give an answer. These three words here that I've underlined this morning have been in my heart for a long time. Always be prepared. I remember reading this scripture a long time ago when I first became a pastor. I remember reading this and God speaking to my heart about this scripture and saying, Wayne, you need to always be prepared. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're doing, you need to be prepared to speak for me. No matter whether you're in the pulpit or you're painting or you're praying or you're driving your car or wherever you're at, be prepared to give an answer for what you believe. I believe that God calls every Christian to be prepared. If you're a true Christian, God calls you to be ready, to be prepared, to be able to speak what's true and the truth of God in your heart and your life. I want to challenge you this morning, if you're a Christian and you're a believer, be prepared to give an answer of what God has done in your heart and your life. When I read this verse a long time ago, there was a tug in my heart about priorities and understanding that God wanted me to be ready at all times. Even so, I even probably became a little obsessive about something. I used to feel, and I still do, if I'm in a service or I'm in a Bible study or I'm even sitting around and a group of people say, does anybody have a testimony? This is how obsessive my personality can be. This verse comes to my mind. I think I have to answer. I have to speak up. I have to say something because I'm always to be ready to do that. There should always be something on my heart that comes out of who I am because of what God's done for me. Has God done enough for you that you can be prepared to give an answer for what God has done for you? That's the DNA of a real Christian, to be ready. It's not just certain people's job, but it's every Christian's responsibility to speak the words of God and the truth of God. If God gives you a brain and a tongue, then He calls you to prepare. Another scripture that comes to my mind is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved to God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, this is not a principle of Scripture. This is not a suggestion of Scripture, but this is a commandment of God's Word for every Christian and every believer to study, to show ourselves approved of God. You know, I don't particularly like the word study. I didn't like it in school. And, you know, sometimes, you know, things in life aren't that easy and simple. But I want you to know that God calls you as a Christian to study His Word, to know that His Word is absolutely life to you. And if you don't realize it, you miss it. And your life will be brittle and fragile, and you will have no fruit. It's amazing what God can do in His Word in the lives of people who embrace the Word of God, who love God's Word, who live God's Word. I mean, it's not the cure-all for everything in life. I mean, the Bible, it's not... Memorizing Scripture is not an end to itself, is what I'm trying to say. It's an avenue by which God will prepare your heart. God will help you to know His heartbeat and to love Him and know Him. And I'm concerned in the church, in 25, 24 years of being a pastor, one of the things in the body of Christ in the church that concerned me the most is that less and less today people are reading the Scriptures overall and they know God's Word. And so many people that come into our church and our young people and adults, I'm afraid less and less overall we're reading God's Word and understanding and hearing what it says. It is life-giving. And if we ignore God's Word, then we miss out. We're told to study the Word. I see the word study. I see the word prepare. I hear God saying to me, are you ready to give an account? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I say? Is it in your heart in such a way that you will embrace it and live it? I also think of the picture that Paul gives us in the book of Ephesians about the full armor of God. In the book of Ephesians, God lists several things that are part of the Roman soldier's gear that he's to have, his armor that he's to have to go into battle. And it says in here about the third piece of armor is interesting. It's about the shoes. Listen to it. It says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Stand firm then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place. Then look at verse 15, it says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. Your feet fitted with the readiness. Your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel. There's something about a soldier that's not ready until he has his boots on, until he has his shoes on, until his feet are covered. And he's ready to go out into battle. There was something about the Roman soldier that Paul describes here as necessary for the feet. I never really thought so much about this armor, but you realize how important the readiness is in your heart and your spirit about the gospel in the world that you live in. If you're not prepared to share the gospel, you're not ready for battle. If you don't know what God's Word says about the gospel and about God, then you're not ready to go out and fight. Think of the difference between a soldier that has the proper footwear on and those that run into the battle without any shoes on. I haven't thought so much about this, but when you think about it, think of the feet of the soldier. Think of what the purpose of the shoes are for the Roman soldier. The purpose of the shoes are to protect that soldier's feet from all the junk and debris that's found on the battlefield. All the rocks and all the stuff that he has to run over and in order to not be injured, to be able to walk and to be able to run. And I think as a Christian how important it is to know what God's Word says. Otherwise you have all this junk out there that's confusing. And people are confused. And even good people believe very wrong things about God. There's so much deception out there. If you don't know what the gospel is and you don't know the heart of God, how in the world can you help other people in your lives fitted with your feet, the readiness that comes from the gospel? I think of also the shoes of the soldier helps that sosoldier to move quickly, to turn quickly, be able to turn around and defend and climb on rocks and jump and run around. See, the Word of God and the gospel is so important as an agent of truth in the world. And if we don't have it, how in the world are we going to make a difference in battle? How in the world is it going to make a difference in your circle of influence? Okay, wherever you're at, pick your workplace for a minute today. Those of you that are working right now, think of your workplace. Think of the people that are there. Think of their problems. Think of their personalities. How are you going to make a difference in their lives? How are you going to be a witness for Jesus if you can't speak God's truth into their lives from what God says? Being ready is so important. Being prepared is so important. They help us to engage other people. Being ready. Are you ready to talk about your faith? Now, this is one very specific area, not the only area. I'll say that again because I don't want anybody to think, well, pastor says as long as we memorize Scripture, we present the gospel. That's a part of it, but it is a very important part of it. Are you ready to talk about Christ? Do you have the motivation in your heart to speak for the Lord and the love that you have for Him. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, and listen to what Paul writes again about being ready to share your faith, how important it is to be ready. Verse 2 of Colossians chapter 4 says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt." And look at the last part of that verse. "So that you may know how to answer everyone." So that you may know how to answer everyone. You know, God calls us to prepare so that we can speak into the lives of people, whatever they face, whatever their problem is. God calls us to know His Word in such a way that it comes out of us and it has life-giving help and strength to people that hear it. Being ready begins, verse 2 says, with a preparation of prayer. If you are loving people and praying for them, God will help you to know what to say to people. If your heart is right, God will prepare you. God will help you. God will give you mercy and compassion and insight and wisdom in people's lives. If your prayer life is right, that means your attitude is right. That means you're humble before God. Praying for people within your circle of influence will prepare you to know how to witness to them. God will give you insight and compassion. Devote yourselves to prayer, Paul says here. We also read in the Scripture some more things about being ready to testify for God. We also read, make the most of every opportunity. We've seen that before in some stories the last few weeks. Make the most of every opportunity. You realize that God gives us only so many opportunities in life in different categories. Some people, God gives only so many opportunities to make changes in their lives and then it's too late. God gives us so many opportunities to make things right with Him and it's too late. God will give us so many opportunities to make things right with our spouse and our children and other people in our lives. And if we don't do it and we wait too long, it will be too late. God gives us so many opportunities to witness for Him. And it may be too late for someone around us if we don't do what God calls us to do. The truth is God is calling you, if you're a believer and a Christian today, to have a heart that is looking for the needs of people around you. Jesus said, you say 4 more months until the harvest. Jesus said, but I say unto you, open your eyes and look to the harvest fields. They are white and ripe. The truth is there are people right now in your circle of influence who need you, if you're a Christian and a believer, to speak God's love and truth into their hearts and their lives. If you're willing to do that, if you're willing to take the time, the opportunity, the compassion, the truth of God and speak it into their lives. I know that every one of you have an influence and the potential of influence in other people's lives. We also read in verse 5, be wise in the way you speak or be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. God wants us to see people as He does, with great potential to be loved by God and to know His help. Be wise in the way that you act with outsiders. Verse 6 then says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I think this too is one of the many great verses in the Bible. Let my conversation be always full of grace. This is God's word about what we say and we speak. I've quoted a lot of scriptures about our words over the years here. One of my favorites has been, let nothing corrupt come out of your mouth except what builds one another up. That's a standard that God gives us for our words. And if you speak words that aren't in that category, you're outside of God's will. And this one says, let your conversation be always full of grace. What about your words? What about your conversation with people? Is it full of God's grace? Is it full of God's goodness? Is it full of God's truth? Or is it full of you? Full of self? Full of your things and your wants and your needs and your desires? Let your conversation be always full of grace. Boy, what a difference a person of grace makes in the world. What a difference a person of kindness and care makes in a world that's hurting and painful. Our world is hurting so bad. God has the answer to that. It's not in man's ability to reform himself. It's in God's grace and God's power. God's grace is powerful. Let your conversation be always full of grace. This is so important that your words are life-giving in people's lives. Important kindness and patience and humility. If you want to influence people for Christ, your words need to be full of grace, speaking the truth in love. Would you read that with me? I'm going to put in my in there. Let my conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I wonder this morning, are you committed to your words being full of God's Spirit and God's grace? Well, we're talking today about being ready. How you prepare yourself to be a witness for Jesus. There are so many ways. Today I want to focus on two ways and talk about two ways to prepare yourself to be a witness. Again, there are other ways. This isn't necessarily the only or not always the best. But two ways that I want to recommend that you prepare yourself in order to be a witness for Christ. The first way that I want to talk about is in understanding and memorizing Scripture. I know when I was a kid, I went to Sunday school and we memorized Scriptures, and it was a lot easier when I was a kid than it is now. A lot easier. But I remember in church growing up how they were drilled into me. And you know what's crazy? Is I can remember Scriptures that I memorized when I was 5. And Scriptures I memorized when I was 40, I can't bring back to save my life. It does help when you start when you're younger. At least it did for me. But I want to talk to you. I want to bring up that subject of memorizing Scripture again and how important it is to have God's Word in your heart. Again, it's not about checking off a list of, oh, I did this and I memorized all this. Isn't that great? I'm talking about in your heart, deep in your heart, putting God's Word so that it comes out of you. You know, when you put it in there and it's a part of what you believe and who you are, it will make a difference in your life. Some people have said to me, Pastor, this whole thing about Billy Graham scares me to death. I don't know that I know how to witness. And I've said, well, I don't know either. I don't know whose phone keeps going off. But that just reminds me of a point I was going to make. Not to embarrass whoever that was. It's okay. But is your Bible more important than your cell phone? I said that last week. Most of us have cell phones now. Not everybody. Not everybody. But is your Bible more important than your cell phone? Is reading God's Word and hide it in your heart more important and deeper than the people that you talk to in your life? You see, your connection with God is so, so very important. Well, talking about memorizing Scripture, I've had some people say to me, Pastor, I don't know that I can witness and tell people about Jesus. And they said, I don't know how. And I said, well, I want you to know over the next couple months, I'm going to talk about how you witness and how you can tell somebody about what it means to become a Christian. It is important, I believe, among other things, to be able to tell somebody how to become a Christian. I think that's good for us. It's good for us to have it deep in our heart so that when the opportunity comes up, we can share from our own hearts and what we've learned about God with somebody else. And so there are ways that you can develop kind of the ability to articulate what we believe about God. Over time, there have been different scriptures that people have used in order to share their faith. I put one on the back of the red insert. There's many, but I chose one today because we've been reading in the book of Romans. It's something that's called the Roman Road. And on this sheet, there are 6 scriptures that list how you become a Christian and what it means to become a Christian. You might think, well, that's kind of, everybody knows that. Well, the truth is, not everybody knows that. Some people are not sure maybe what the Bible says and clear. And I wanted to give you 6 scriptures from Romans that as you read and you have time to look at, that God might could use one or more of these verses in order to help you to be able to tell somebody about who Jesus is. For example, the first one is, everyone needs salvation, Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It's a very short verse, and it says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I wanted to give this, not that we're going to take a lot of time this morning and go through this specifically, but I just want to say, if it's in your heart to know God's Word better, I want you to have something that you can read and look at, some scriptures about what it means to be a Christian. But this morning, I want to talk especially about another area of the Bible and the Scripture. And I'm going to come down here to do that. I want to talk to you about life verses. and principles from the Scripture that you have deep in your heart that drive who you are. I think it's good that every Christian write their own theology, if you would, about what God means to you. And having Scriptures in your mind and your heart that are part of who you are, that describe your relationship and your connection with God. So, I want to talk to you about having a life verse. When I say a life verse, I don't mean it's just one verse. It might be three or four. It might be a story. It might be something Jesus said. It might, who knows? Everybody will come. Everybody's different. But I want to challenge you as a Christian to pray and ask God to show you in His Word something that can be foundational for you. I want to tell you what my life verse is. And I've invited several people to read their life verse this morning. I've been talking about this in several contexts. I want to tell you what my life verse is. I love a lot of verses in the Scripture, as you know. And it seems like every week I tell you another favorite. But this is probably the verse that I have held on to for 25 years now, more than any other verse in the Bible. It comes from the Old Testament, from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. And if you just go to that, I put it on the screen for you to see. For Micah chapter 6, for He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. Long time ago I said, God, what do you want for my life? What do you want me to be? What do you want me to try for? Not that you're going to be successful all the time, but what do you want for me to be? And this is what God brought to my heart and my mind. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Three qualities in my life: to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to do. That's what I believe I need to be as a Christian. I need to do what's right. I need to cherish mercy and understand the role of grace in people's lives, and God's at work. And I need to do it with a humble spirit. And I just believe that that for me has been a fashioning and forming part of my faith and what I believe. Martin Luther, his life verse, we looked at it about 5 weeks ago, the just shall live by faith. Martin Luther came to believe that as he understood grace and salvation, that living by faith was such an important thing to him. I want you to know that it's important for you to know what you believe and why. Being able to voice it and articulate it. You know, some people out there are culture, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, back there I became a Christian. But they don't have any depth with God. Just kind of an informal relationship with God. I want to challenge our people, God's people. Make it real in your life. More than this shallow stuff that's just there on Sundays. What about every day? What about what comes out of you? What about your motivation? What about your heart for people? God, what's inside of you? Whatever's inside is what's going to come out every day under pressure. I want to challenge you to know God's Word better, deeper, so you'll have an influence in people's lives. You know, if you don't, you will not be a good witness for God. You're not going to see people change their lives through God's Spirit. See, God changes people. It's our job to bring the Word to people, to bring them to Jesus. But only Jesus can change hearts and lives. And I want to say to our church and our people how important it is that we are motivated with everything that we are to see people come to faith in Christ. What's your life verse? I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to pray about that and think about that. I've asked several people to share a life verse. I asked this question at our church board meeting two weeks ago. It was neat to go around the room and hear every board member talk about. They did it on the spot. I didn't prepare them ahead of time. I just said, let's just talk about what's important to us. And it was neat. So I've asked three or four people to share a life verse today. The first person is not a board member. It's our 97-year-old Evelyn Paul. Evelyn, I love you. I love what you said to me yesterday. Tell us your life verse. Would you do that?
Well,
hold that real close so they can hear you.
I've had more than one life verse throughout these 97 years. And I've usually had a life verse that fit my life at that time. And when Pastor asked me, I'm now at a period of my life when it's uncertain. There are many uncertainties as you age. And so, just recently, when I was reading my Bible, I turned to the 121st Psalm, and the fifth verse of that Psalm says, "The Lord is your keeper." And something clicked in my soul, and I just raised my voice and thanked the Lord for the assurance that He was my keeper.
Amen.
He can keep you through every part of your life. And I just want to say, I was saved when I was 19. That's many decades ago. And when Pastor spoke last week about the relevance of the Bible, God's Word has been my constant choice of reading. And I have walked with Him through the years, and He has talked to me through His Word. And if you are not making Bible reading a part of your life, do it. It's the most important thing, almost the most important thing that you'll ever do, because God loves you. He loves each one of us, and He wants to talk to us through His Word and lead us. And I just love Him this morning, and I praise Him for His faithfulness to me.
Amen. Thank you. All right, I've asked three or four others to share a verse. Just come up. Would you do that? And I won't go find you. You come up if you have one. I know Scott, I asked. Scott, are you ready? Go ahead and share, would you? And quickly.
In that obscure book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 38, I think all of us may, if we admit it, have a touch of stubbornness in us. I know I do. But I think you can take even what would be a bad trait and turn it to good. And I have become stubborn for Christ. And this verse kind of sums it up. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor heavenly rulers, nor things that are present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation," all the stuff that you want to put in there, "will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You will not convince me otherwise, and my faith has grown stronger because I'm standing on that promise."
Amen. Thank you. Brad, give us a verse.
Well, the biggest part of my life, I've been able to serve the public through family business and through the career I've chosen. And, you know, what greater a witness than to serve the public? And, you know, I got to thinking when Pastor asked me my life verse, as others have said, you know, there's so many verses that are important to me. But the one that God gave me shortly after I surrendered my life to Him and accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, it's quite a bit different than the rest of you. But mine is Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger." And, you know, when you deal with the public, sometimes it has its challenges. Most of the time it's wonderful, but there are times when people can really challenge you. And my prayer is that I would be a good witness for God and wouldn't say anything that would bring shame unto His name. So that's my life verse.
Thank you, Brad. Luke.
Yeah, Dad asked me if I had a life verse, and I said, no, not really. But there's so many good verses out there, it's hard to pick one. But then thinking about it, I'm along the lines of what Brad just said. I think perhaps one of the greatest pieces of relationship advice that the Bible gives is James 1:19. Every one of you should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And if you can do that, whether you're dealing with the public or you can do that in your marriage or with your family, that really will help you. And then following that verse, the next verse, it says that man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And as a young man or anywhere in life, it's easy to see the evil in this world, see what's going on, and things can make you angry. But that verse reminds me that God's not wanting to change the world through my anger. God's wanting to change the world through His grace and through His healing.
Mm. Thank you, buddy. Jeff.
I've just picked up a couple new life verses. I got the message this morning. We got back from picnicking yesterday, and I got the message, and I started thinking about that last night. And I said, well, what really drives me? What has driven me through different times in my life? And Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. And being raised in a business family, get up at 6 in the morning, that was drilled in at different times. And there's a little phrase in my grandmother's refrigerator in Cincinnati that's been there for 15, 20 years. It says, this one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. And it ties into that, whatever your hands find to do, do with all your might. And I've, in talking with people, patients many times, whether it's 3 years old and our life is short, or 103 years old, life is still short in terms of eternity, and it's whatever we do. Do if it's worth doing, they say, do it with everything you've got. So,
excellent. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you to each one of you. What's your life verse? What's important to you? It's important that we know, but the reason is so that it comes out of us in people's lives and when we have an opportunity to witness for Him. I'm going to invite you next week for more people to share. We have a combined service next Sunday, and I think I'm going to open the floor and say, would you read us your life verse? And just invite people to do that. And pray between now and next Sunday, God, what's important in my relationship with You? What from Your Word do You want me to hold on to? And I bet God's going to bring some things to your hearts and your minds. And I want to invite you next Sunday morning to be a part of that as we continue to say, God, how can You prepare me to be a witness around the people that I live with and I serve? Thank You for being here today. God bless each one of you. You're dismissed.